Welcome back to another brand new episode of What Do I Know with me, Joanne Pei, as I continue to find answers to what I don't know. Now, in this season, I feel that we are hustling a lot more because things in this part of the world has opened up. And all the more, it becomes important for us to take a step back, take a deep breath, and absorb new ideas. My guest today calls himself the Average Joe. And even though you may not know who he is yet, the work he does is very important. When I first had this pre-chat with him, I get this impression that he's one of those people who brings light to those that he touches, which is why I'm so excited to have this conversation with him. Ruben Lim is a certified caregivers trainer with the Agency for Integrated Care. And to put it simply, this agency is a one-stop solution for caregivers and care recipients. He provides training for people like you and me, or simply just anyone who has to bear the responsibility of caring for a senior or aged parent, which we all know can be incredibly challenging. Now, let's quickly dive into this conversation with Ruben Lim. Hi, Ruben.
Hi.
It's good to meet you, and thank you so much for taking time here. I think I wanted to explore this topic with you because I realized that caregiving is one of those things that you don't think about until the issue hits you. And when that happens, you know, you are swimming in the stress and then trying to find answers that can be a little bit overwhelming. So I just wanted to be able to start this conversation early for my listeners who might be, well, either going through this right now or may come in touch with this issue later on as well. So maybe we can start with you because I know that it comes from your own personal experience as well, because you have had to care for your mom for over 12 years. So tell us, what was this journey like and why did you get involved as a caregiver and become a trainer?
All right. Thank you, Joanne, for having me on the show. On a personal journey, I think it started about more than 15 years
back. Wow.
Right. I think when my mom hits the late 60s, right, yeah, she started to have some oldish ailments, right? She need to go for a kneecap replacement also. Right, and she started to struggle, right, with her daily routines. Right, in the past she used to be more active, right? She would go around, go supermarkets, go shopping, right, go out with friends, right? But when so-called disability set in, right, it was quite a shock to her as well. Right, and the whole family has to adapt to different things. Right. So we started to figure out on our own and find ways, how we can manage this new transition in life better. I think so that's the personal journey, that's how we started.
What were some of the struggles that you had?
Initially once, she felt that she has to be wheelchair bound. Has a quite independent lady, her initial struggle was, I'm not going to sit on a wheelchair. I'm not going to go around the neighborhoods sitting on a wheelchair. That was her struggle. So it took us maybe even a few months to convince her, to bring her along, to shop for a wheelchair, to get her comfortable, to convince her that as long as she still want to move about, she does need a wheelchair, for us to manage her better, for us to bring her out better.
Before we go into detail, tell us a little bit about yourself, did you already become a trainer before your mom, you had to look after your mom, or it was after, or how did that come about?
For a number of years, I was already doing some kind of counselling, mentoring work, even including helping children maybe to communicate and interact better with their elderly parents, so that's why I gained some of the experiences. Then an opportunity arise where I could become a registered trainer with the Agency for Integrated Care, because one of the voluntary organizations was looking for trainer to train caregivers, so that's how I come about, and I'm now considered a registered trainer.
And you've been doing for this caregivers. You've been doing this for how many years?
I think close to 5.
Okay. Yeah. Do you see similarities in the struggles that the caregivers tend to have?
Yes. So I would say even during the training, it was like a personal reflection, personal healing even experience for me. And I remember the training, become took on a different dimension, right, when about you know, 1 year plus ago my mom like finally passed on.
Okay.
Right. So I remember I was like telling about the stories, and yet I need to connect to the fact that my mom has passed on. Right. So it become quite emotional for me, even I would say. Right. But I think it was stories like this, personal experiences, that helped me to connect, right, with those caregivers, right? And in a typical caregiving training, right, when we have a group of people coming together and hear and share and connect with one another, I think it's a very good process, right? Learning and also personal healing process for every caregiver who are struggling with taking care of their elderly parents.
Yeah. So what are some of the struggles that are very common for caregivers?
Okay, so many of us can identify with the need to help the elderly parents adapt, like just now my earlier example. Then after that, it'll be things like, okay, let's say she need to go for a surgery. She need to see a doctor, right? And I think most of us has experiences, like the elderly are not those who, oh, yes, I'm going to see the doctor. I'm going to have my next surgery. No, right?
Yeah,
you can expect a lot of resistance, right? And it take a whole family effort, also, I would say, community effort, right? If your friends have family members who can help, right? Let's say a friend who have gone through the same kneecap replacement surgery, right, can invite like him or her to just share and to encourage, right, the elderly who need, right? And also doctors does help, right? Yeah, so if it's important for you to get really a good family doctor or a doctor who can connect, right, to your elderly parent, right? Sometimes the children can say so many things, like she'll no, the doctor say something, right? And finally she'll say yes, right? So yes. I think it's really a community effort, right, to be able to help elderly parents who are actually in need, right, of needed or supervised caregiving.
Yeah. I mean, I have friends who have to care for their parents, and the whole inspiration of wanting to have this conversation going is also because of the stress that I see them face often. You understand that your parent is going through a hard time, but he or she is obviously not making it any easier for you too, because you also have your own struggles. And then at the same time, you're dealing with a behavior, like you mentioned, that can be very contrasting to what it used to be. I mean, what are some of the examples or episodes that you can recall, maybe from your own personal experience, that was really difficult for you? Or like, you know, it was a very memorable episode, or just one of those moments where you really just broke down, or you know, one of those things that you can remember, if you can share.
Personally, I would say, right, the experience would still stay with me would be towards the, right, later stage, right? Actually, she's suffering from so-called a terminal disease, right? So at the end, we have to decide whether, right, to put her in a hospice, right, or, right, to recover from home, right? I think that was really a struggle. So the family members have to, right, have a family discussion, have to talk through it, right? And also sometimes the elderly, the 老人家, right, they tend to become very negative. Oh, yeah, let me die lah, 让我死最好.
And it can also be very unpleasant.
Yeah.
Because for the children, you know, you are trying your best and you're trying to think of the best solution. And then it can also be stressful because you feel like it's unappreciated, right? Then you it's not so simple for you. Oh, just let me die. I mean, on the other hand, the parent themselves could also be feeling like, I don't want to be a burden, you know. But on the other hand, the children, they are also trying to find the best solution, right? So I think this struggle is very real. So yeah, please go on.
Yeah. So for the children, I'll say at least we are not so bad. We are not really the direct recipient of most of her negative vibes. Right? It's more my dad. Right, her husband, right, who has to face her, right, most of the time. My dad is really very patient, very loving, right. So yeah, he took most of the burdens, and that's also something that we caregivers need to be aware of, right. It's not just the care recipient, the immediate person who need our care, right. It's normally the one closer to her, right, who also need our care, right. So it also came to our awareness, right, the siblings, that yeah, my dad also need to, right, be relieved of the daily, right, caregiving struggles, right? We also need to find time for him. We also need to let him have his own time off. Yeah, so we also need to be able to take care of his own psycho-emotional needs. Mm. So I think that's also equally important.
Because usually you tend to also be, I don't know, this is what I've heard also, because personally, I don't live with grandparents and my parents are still relatively well. So I think what I've heard is that, actually the person who is closest to them is the one who is suffering the most because, you know, whatever they say, they don't listen. And then, you know, and there's incidents where the grandchildren will come back and the grandchildren will say something and, oh, okay, everything's fine. But when it comes from the person who's closest to them, you know, it's very resistant, very negative.
Right. So I think the struggle for some elderlies, right, I cannot say it's all, but would be, right, they are so conscious, right, in their state, in their situation. Right, they find it's like so mafan. It's like, want to get out of the house, must have two or three person helping her with the wheelchair, getting her out of the car. Right. So I think we have to be conscious that the elderly are struggling with this, right? They don't want to burden people. Mm. Right. I think the older generation have this mindset. Mm. Right. They don't want to burden us. Right. So we have to be aware of this and learn to adapt accordingly. Right. So it's like flying a kite. Something you just need to let go a bit. Right, but sometimes you need to pull her in a bit, and sometimes you just need to make the right decision for her. Mm. Right, so yeah, so during her last few years, obviously she struggled to go out, but whenever she does go out with us, right, she will enjoy herself. Right, the outdoor is still better than being cooped at home. I think that's the thing that we don't want elderly in their last few years to just be cooped at home. I think it's really not healthy for them.
Mm. So is it actually very, very common for there to be big fights because of this condition that they have, and they would have fights, you know, with the caregivers or, you know, the family? It can be very, very tense.
Okay, thankfully for my case, there wasn't any big fight. There was some, yeah, squabbles, quarrels here and there, right, obviously. Yeah, but I do, right, heard from my participants, right, in the caregiving training before that, yeah, some of them do struggle, right, right, to the extent that even the caregiver themselves want to give up on the whole thing. So at the end, it's not the care recipient who wanted to give up on life itself on the station. It's the caregivers, like who find it so stressful, right, to want to give up. I think that's the common struggle. So again, my advice would be, go find the resources, go find any support, any help, right, you need. Right, because caregiver is really a very holistic, right, or can I say a community integrated approach, because it involves so many aspects of your life, right? Yeah, it could involve your work, it can involve your own family relationship with your own immediate family, it can involve, right, finance, obviously, right? It can involve getting the right resources, right, the right medication. There are so many aspects, right, into caregiving, right? So what we really need, right, all the professional advice and the good community support we can get out there.
Do you have any suggestions or options for people? Like, where can they actually go find help?
Okay, from a physical point of view, I think very simple, right?
Oh, you've
walk
got
into
all these.
Any community clubs.
Let me see this.
Community centers, right? Or any hospitals, right?
Oh, okay.
Right, and you should be able to pick up very good flyers and brochures. Right, then you can get, right, it's a good start.
Okay.
Right, and for our obviously digital savvy younger generation, just Google, right? Just trust your uncle Google, right? Yeah, and you can find very good resources, like the earlier one which Joanne mentioned, the Agency for Integrated Care is actually a one-stop center, right, that allows, right, people to just find all the resources and help and support, right, relating to caregiving.
I mean, I would think that it can be quite overwhelming if I were to pick up all these brochures, and especially if you are already struggling with it, right? So I think, what you suggest about being able to visit like a one-stop center to just even present this problem, and then for someone to be able to advise on what are the paths that you can take and support, that would be most helpful. You said just now earlier that because caregiving can involve so many things, right? It can involve your relationship with your immediate family. It can involve finance, work. Is there like a most common thing that your your workshop participants are looking for? Or the problem that they face the most, is it finance, like financial assistance? Or is it getting understanding from their workplace? Or what is the problem that a lot of the participants are looking to solve when they come to you?
I think at the end of the day, most caregivers, they are really looking for solutions to how can I take care of my elderly care recipients better? Right, and at the back of the minds of most of the caregivers, especially if they're still struggling to give up their work, will be what happens, right, if I need to give up my work, right? So for the second problem, obviously it goes right to the financial assistance side, right? So that's where, right, many care right givers, they really need to know what are the assistance out there for them to get help, right? So even in my personal journey, right, yeah, I managed to source out and find out assistant for my mom, right? Because after her surgery, she need to go through a bit of rehabilitation, right? So it's not easy to always send her to those hospital, to the physical therapy. So we have to find alternative. So I managed to find St. Luke Elder Care, right? There are many of these facilities around in the neighborhoods, right? Like elder care facilities that can actually help, right? So and there are government subsidies, right, if you need, right, to apply for certain grants so that the care receiver can go through the maybe exercise session, interactive sessions, and even to receive therapy from somewhere near her home. So that is really very helpful.
Do we need to be trained in caregiving?
Yes.
You know, I find this, you know, very interesting, because you hear of people saying that when you grow old, you kind of like return to that childlike state, right? You almost become like a child again. And then for many of us, at least at this stage in my life, I would pour into resources learning about how to take care of my young child. We have resources to teach us how to look after our babies and what to do and what signs to look out for and where we can go for help. But we don't seem to have that for our parents, or when, you know, our parents become older and they have all these different issues, or when they return to that so-called baby state. Which is why I ask this question, you know, that do we need to be trained, or is it something that many of us just assume that we should know when the time comes?
So my answer is still yes. Yes. Just like as parents, right, many of us now look for resources, look for information, look for support to how to take care of our children better, right? It's really a full life cycle, I would say.
Yeah.
Right. I've seen a cartoon before where, right, when the children were young, right, the parents would tell them, hey, eat this, quickly eat your medicine, eat your food. Then now the cycle reverse, and it's our turn. As adult children who are telling our elderly parents, eat, mom, you need to eat more, better eat, eat your medicine. So, it's an interesting cycle. So, and just like when we take care of children, we need to probably respect them, and sometimes we need to validate their feelings, need to give them maybe good, possible options, that they can still feel empowered to make decisions. Right, and all these are also steps and strategies that we can use for elderly care receivers.
We go back a little bit to that training part, because you're asking whether or not, you know, we need to be trained. So you said yes, resounding yes, we all need to be trained in caregiving. So what does a typical training session look like? And how often are these sessions conducted?
There are actually many organizations doing trainings relating to this, right? So the one I'm associated with is called the Silver Caregivers, right? Cooperatives, right? So we do it about once a month, right? Yeah, so, and we have many different topics. It can be about handling stress, right, in caregiving. It could be about communication strategies in caregiving, right? It's about managing, so-called elderly with dementia, right? So we have many different topics. If I could sum up in three easy to remember catchphrases, right? I think the whole training, right, we are trying to achieve three A's, Right, the first A, right, we are helping the caregivers, right, to be aware, right, of the station, about the surroundings, about the possible, right, illness or symptoms that their care recipient may be suffering from.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so many of us are not in the aware stage even. Right, we are at the denial stage or the ignorance stage.
Mm.
Right, we don't even know that, right? There could be a possibility that our elderly parent may be suffering from dementia symptoms or Parkinson's disease, right? Or any just elderly related illness, right? So I think awareness is the first part that we help, right? All those participants to know more, right? About themselves and even about their care, right? Receivers.
Mm.
Then the second stage will be help them to accept. Right, so during trainings, normally we will present statistics, we will present good research, right? We'll help them to learn that, these are not just symptoms you brush away, say, it's like that, it's just elderly, right? No, but there are some real, maybe physical or even psychosocial, right, station that give rise, right, to maybe the change in behavior or change in temperament. Right, or change in any physical needs, right, suffered by these care recipients.
Mm.
Right, so we need to help, right, every care receiver, right, caregiver, right, to, like, accept that this is a situation that they are facing right now. Right, instead of denying, right, instead of ignoring the fact, then finally we can reach the final stage. So now that you know all this, you are prepared to accept, right, you're already aware. Then it's time to start adapting, right? Then you need to adapt, right? You need to, right, think of strategies, right? The strategy can be multi-pronged strategies, right? It can be as simply as communicating better, right, with the care recipients, right? So let's say your care recipient is always, right, trying to argue, right, over many things, trying to deny this, deny that, right, or very negative, or say, die better, that kind of thing. Right, so, right, most of us, if you are not trained and not aware, right, we'll tend to argue back with them.
Mm.
Right, say, not like that, lah. I don't know, every time so negative. We tend to argue back with them, right? But that doesn't help.
Mm.
Right, so by attending certain courses on communication strategies where we'll tell them the reasons and the so-called scientific studies behind why elderly, right, maybe with dementia symptoms, right, may suffer from certain cognitive reasoning skills, then we'll tell them, you need to adapt your strategy, right? You need to learn to validate, right, their feelings, right, agree with them, then bring in from another way, right, to get them to do what you want, right? Mm. Or sometimes we'll teach them a distracting strategy, right? Just like some, let's say, children who, right, don't want to do certain things, they're arguing with you, and you distract them, then after that come back. So the same thing, right, we have to have some distracting strategies also. Right, so I think if you can remember the three A's, right, being aware, accept, and adapt, right, and if you can attend certain training, whether it's online or just reading up on resources or attend certain face-to-face, right, training, right, where you can receive good inputs, right, from trainers about caregiving, right, I think that's very helpful.
So just now I wanted to ask you if you could share very briefly, because you talked about the three things that the workshops can be about, which is one is the stress, coping with stress. The second one is communication strategies, and then the third one is understanding dementia patients and why they behave the way they do. Could you just quickly run through, for example, like what is one strategy that people can use to cope with the stress of handling a caregiving recipient?
Mm. All right, I think the important thing is to think of activities, right, that you can do with the care recipient, and also maybe to get the care recipient out of the right house.
Mm.
Right, so there are many experts who have tried out different strategies, right? This day we have elderly karaoke. So where they, like, get the elders together, like, put them in a place, like, they just sing songs. So it works for those who like to sing.
Right.
Singing therapy, right? There's dancing therapy, there's art therapy, right? And there's also a growing avenues for people to get support, right? They call it under the respect care, right? So where you can even get volunteers, right, to help you to take over, right, some of the caregiving responsibilities, right? So, and that's also another strategy that we can think of, because a lot of caregivers, I think their main concern is that, I'm really burnt out, right? Or I need some time on my own, right? I need to have other things, right, to do, right, to help my care, right, recipient, right, break the monotonous of, right, her, his or her daily life at this moment. Yeah, so what can I do? So I think getting out a bit more, right, or thinking of things that can you can do, right, with the care receivers, right, will help. Yeah, so I think that's one strategy.
Because I think what you're saying is that a lot of the stress that a caregiver may face is the result of being consistently stuck in the same situation over and over again. So if there are possibly other activities to, well, distract or keep the the recipient occupied, then the caregiver will have a lot less stress. Yes. Right, and then also sometimes because of the duties that they always have to do, to be able to have someone sort of just offload one or two things that they have to do, usually it would also help them be able to have that mental space to take care of themselves. Right, that's what you're saying.
Yes.
And what about communication strategies that you're saying?
Earlier I made reference to validating their feelings. I think that's important. Right.
Okay.
So instead of just right saying the no to them, right, try your yes. Oh yes, mom, I know that you're hungry again. But let's wait for a while and see. Yeah. So I think there are some studies about human psychology, then some studies about how our brain works, right? So no, right, will right turn the person off more. Right, so and it does work even for elderly, especially for elderly who are suffering from dementia. Right, and from another psychological point of view, is that right? Most elderly, when they are at the like a stage of maybe disability or sickness, right, their self-esteem and their personal self-respect, right, is at the all-time lowest. Right, so it's human nature when right, someone is struggling with low self-esteem, right, they'll bite back. Right, you become negative. Right, so by keep saying no to them, rejecting them, you're not making the situation better. Right, so that's where the time you can affirm them more. Do respect their feelings and give them like certain good choices that they can decide. Right, not too many choices.
I really want to dive into this because, let's say let's just reenact for a while here, right? That I am suffering. I now suddenly, I used to be so active. I used to be able to go anywhere I want, and now I'm wheelchair bound, and I cannot move as quickly, as easily, as conveniently as I used to. Now I need to depend on someone to take me to the bathroom or to, even going out. I need someone to make that happen for me. So I'm frustrated and I am feeling useless and I'm feeling down and my self-esteem is really low, right? You as the caregiver, you can't change this fact. You can't change the fact that now I cannot be as mobile as I can before. So how would you help me, build my self-esteem? Like, what are the words or what are the phrases that you can use and say to someone who is going through this? I really feel bad about myself, and you also can't change the fact, right, that I cannot walk, right? You make me walk, then I will be happy. But how would you communicate? I mean, I think it's being able to sort of give an example of the words that you can use or the phrase that you can use, because it's sometimes it can be very elusive. Like, okay, we talk about words of validation, we talk about words of affirmation, but what does that sound like?
I think realistically, it's going to be a journey for all of us, right? And emotions sometimes get in the way, right? And your simple words of never mind lah, ma, it's okay. It sometimes doesn't cut it, right? It really doesn't.
Because
work.
It's not okay.
Yes,
I'm not okay, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So silence does work, right? Yeah. Sometimes you just have to do not give her too many options or solutions, right? And the encouraging thing I would say is that for many of the care recipients, caregivers out there, right? At the end, your elderly parents can see your genuine love and concern for them, right? Yeah, do not be
discouraged
too concerned about the right daily squabbles you may have, right? Well, what's the right words you need to say to break the ice, right? Yeah, but keep just showing her the genuine love, right? Hugs and touches, right? So for example, my mom grandchildren, right? Yeah, will go and visit her, and they can't even communicate too much. Right, especially in the later years where her hearing wasn't that good, right? She was speaking too softly also. So what they do is really just the even the high bye, even when they greet her, the gentle hug, when they leave, the gentle hug, right? I think all this works. Right? I think all these are important, right? Do use all the good communication tips that you have, right? Like validating, like telling, oh mom, yeah I know yeah I think it's very cold here, I can adjust for you, right, the aircon, right? It's okay, just wear a jacket, right? If let's say your mom is concerned about being so conscious about walking through the right shopping center, so many people, just say then we are not going shopping center, we're just going right somewhere near, right? Not many people are around there. So you still need to just affirm them, right? And suggest things that will help to bring their bring their comfort level up, right? They won't be feeling so stressful. So I think it's really a case by case. You need to understand what your elderly parents or grandparents are struggling with. What is she so conscious about? Like, what is something that she's really worried?
I think to sum it up, it does mean that we there's no one perfect solution, because everyone goes through a different issue, right? And they have different needs. So it is also up to the caregiver to be able to think out of the box and find a solution that could address the need of that care recipient, isn't it? And being able to use the right language to make them feel respected rather than make them feel like they're being dismissed or brushed off. I know you have some stuff that you brought as well, because we talk about communication and you talk about grandchildren communicating with their grandparents. These are some of the things that you did tell me beforehand, before we started the recording, that you use or you suggest caregivers to use with their recipients, isn't it? Tell us a bit more. What is this? So if you're listening in on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or anywhere you're listening to this audio, you may want to head over to YouTube to check out the video version, because Ruben is showing us a little thing.
All right. We play games with children, right?
Yes.
So, right, elderly care recipients reach a stage that sometimes we still need some games or interactive activities, right? So, earlier we were saying if you can bring them out, obviously bring them out, right? But many times, right, I think it's too inconvenient or logistically just quite difficult, right? So, what you can do is, right, find some things like this, right? Cards, games like this.
So, this Hua Hi Snap has got actually food items on it, like ang ku kuih,
yes,
pineapple tart, kuih lapis, and there's also English and Mandarin, so like jiu cheng gao, and then we've got huang li shu ta. So these are the things that's on the cards, and then it can be a sort of like conversation starter, or you can even play the matching games as well. And what else have you got over there, so they can learn to play this with the parents? So like, for example, I draw a card from the blue deck, and I draw a card from the red deck, and then I have to read it out. Is it?
Yes, they can use
that. Oh dear, this is really funny. Wasi Kim Jiu. I just drew this. I mean, I drew the blue and the red, and then it is really quite funny. Wasi Kim Jiu. Kim Jiu, not Kim Jiu. Kim Jiu. You know what that means? Okay. If you know what that means, leave it in the comments below. Okay, this is fun. This is also for... can we show this? I'm not saying this on air, even though it's probably going to have a... No. If I say this on air, we're going to have the explicit thing. So I'm not going to say this on air. This is a very funny deck, guys. You got to go and see this on YouTube. It's so funny. Okay, I like this. I like this deck of cards. It's quite cute.
Possibly another thing that elderly, right, recipients who may be suffering from dementia or Parkinson's disease, right? So they need to use their hands more, right? Something just to keep them occupied, right? Or just to at least maintain their flexibility, right? Or let them to keep moving, right? So even simple things like a fidget spinner, right? And a pop it, right? Which is used for children, right? It does work for elderly even. So this is a 2-in-1.
Oh, wow. This is a 2-in-1. Okay. I think before we wrap things up, there's one thing that I find very important for us to address, which is also the stigma, right, of nursing homes. Because we know one of the other options available would be there's also daycare for elderly and there's also nursing homes. And there's always this stigma around, you know, sending your parents to nursing homes, you know, 你就不要我啦,你就把我送去老人院. And then the also the stigma of 你这个不孝子, send your parents to the nursing home, right? Yes. So do you think we will ever be able to overcome this stigma? Or how can we even get there? Or maybe I should say this, are nursing homes really that bad?
All right, I think regarding the stigma, I think especially in Singapore, more Asian, right, traditional society, right, the stigma will always be there, right? But thankfully, right, most of these homes are going through a repackaging, right? Reimagining what they could be,
right?
So again, I sum up a list of what they can be called, right? Traditionally, we call nursing homes, right?
Right.
Then there's also what we call community hospitals.
Right.
Then there's elderly care centers, like the one I mentioned, St. Luke's Elderly Care Center, which is a integrated right care center. They got like full day care, part-time care. They can bring therapists in also, right? Or they can do daily activities that some elderly can go in just for like 2-3 hours. And finally, retirement village, right? So I think the whole ecosystem about, right, caring for elderly is going to take on a very new landscape, right? Right. So by and by, when some of these, especially for the more modern, more premium sounding, at least, right, independent living, assisted living, right, comes into play more, I think the stigma will go away more, right? I think both for the children and also for the elderly recipients, right? And I think the growing generation of elderly also, they want to be independent. Right. So instead of saying that you're going to a nursing home, right, you're saying that, hey, do you want to consider independent living since you are not willing to maybe stay with your elderly adults, right, children and families, right? So I think it will help. Right. So I think this is the way the future of caregiving is going to be like.
So for us, you know, I always also do think about this, that when one day I do become old, like, I don't want to be a burden to my children either. And I can't, at this point, I have to be very honest that I can't imagine what that's going to look like for me at that age. Are you able to visualize, you think?
Nope.
How that's going to look like for you?
Nope. Right. I think for people who are in the now 30s, 40s, 50s, like normally we call ourselves the sandwich generation. We may need to take care of our younger children as well as our elderly parents. Right, but the generation after us, right, where maybe there's only one kid or two children, right, it's going to be a struggle to, right, to manage the caregiving, right, of your elderly parents, right. So, yeah, so the concern is definitely there. So, and thankfully now with all the talks, all the awareness, and all the initiatives, right, by both private and government institution, right, we can see, right, more things, right, being done, and more people would be able to plan early. Just that you plan for your retirement, you plan for your financial independence, and this is an aspect you would need to plan for also, right? Who and how, right, to take care of the elderly parents, right, when they get older. I think it's something that everyone have to, right, think about it.
So what should I do if I don't want to be a burden to my children next time? What do you think I should do?
Right, so I think one way that we really need to prepare ourselves better if you do not want to be a burden to your children in the future is take good care of your own physical, social, psychological health. I think that's important. Secondly, right, which is a practical issue, I think we have to go to the financial planning side of it. Right. So I think you have a podcast about financial planning. Right?
Yes, actually.
Yeah, so
one
yeah.
of the episodes we had the woke salary man here.
Yeah, so the viewers and listeners, please right check into that episode. Right. I think it's something practical and realistic and needed, right, that we do need to right think a bit about, right, financial planning, about retirement. Right. You probably have to work out something, right? Talk to your children even about it. Right, and start to for adult children, you have to talk to them about it to see what's the best right way going forward. If your children are still young, obviously you are the one who have to plan for your own future, right? That you do not want to be a burden.
Well, thank you so much, Ruben. Is there anything that I missed out that I didn't ask and that you think that you want to share?
I think it's true that we do need more people out there, right? Everyone can play a part. Right. You can volunteer your service, you know, right? You can right be more aware of your surroundings, right? You can sign up to be volunteers with some of those community right groups, right, that can provide respect care for right elderly and for the care givers, right, who in need of help. Right. So I think this is one group of people we really hope to mobilize more. Then the second group, obviously, will be all the caregivers out there. It's a difficult journey, right? It's going to be a struggle, especially if you are really ill-prepared and not prepared. Right? I think the worst case is those sudden incident where, right, it's not expected. Right? Maybe an elderly parent got into an accident, right? Then the family or the right the only child need to give up the job and take care. Yeah, I think this is another struggle, right? Do seek the help. Right, seek whatever help you can out there. Find the right person to talk to. Right, find the right resources. Right, get yourself linked and attached to an organization. Right, there's definitely organizations out there that can help you and can give you the support. Right, whether emotional support or financial assistance if you need. Right, there are helps out there. Okay, so don't suffer through the journey alone. Right, get all the support and help you need.
Yeah. I do think that from what you're sharing and looking at you, that you have been able to come out of this, you know, in a very positive and strong way. And while many of them who may be going through a really hard time now, I think if they are able to get the right support, that it would also be helpful for them. So where can our listeners find you if they need help?
I'm just one person, right? So don't find me. Find the organizations that can give you different helps, right? So Agency for Integrated Care, like okay. AIC in short. Then another one would be what we call Central for Enabled Living, right? Which also try to help right elderly and caregivers who are supporting elderly. And personally, I'm associated with this Silver Caregivers Cooperatives, right? So we run monthly workshops. Sometimes we have associated with public seminars, right, who are conducting seminars and workshops, right, for caregivers also.
Well, we will put all these resources in the description below, yes, as well, so it's easier for you to search if you need help. Thank you so much, Ruben, for spending time with me today and for sharing with us this very important topic, and I hope you had a good time.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Now that you've listened to my conversation with Ruben, do you know someone who might be needing this help and support? You know, a caregiver, a friend who's going through a hard time? Well, share this episode with them, and I hope that this has been beneficial for you. If you like this conversation, please give us a 5-star review and click follow so you'll never miss a single episode. A video version of this podcast is also available on YouTube, so you might want to head over to check out some exclusive content as well. I'm Joanne Pei, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye!
This was the Zodapop podcast.